B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
All right, it's 3 o'clock on the Mike Missinelli Show. 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Corpolis Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays every bit is good. Tim McManus will join us at 4:10. Talk about maybe his story. He's very, very bullish on Sidney Jones and his story today. So we'll get into that and some other things. But like Carson Wentz struggling in practice. The first time that I've heard of this.
Not the first time I've heard.
Tim hasn't brought it up.
Right, because it's in the eye of the beholder.
All right.
I guarantee Tim will not be as alarmed as Jeff McClain.
I'm unsettled. I'll be honest with you.
Well, you have a right to be.
Timmy can talk me off a ledge.
I'm interested in next week's practices as well, because he's probably not going to play tomorrow. Like, I want to see what he does to that Ravens defense in those inter-squad practices.
We shall see. You're right. That's going to be a big indicator. All right, so let me get into this story here and feel free to react to it, because it is a topic. So I like watching the Little League games.
They're fun to watch.
They are. And I rarely will I watch a regional game, but I happen to flip this one on and I see it's, because I always like to see how hard the pitchers are throwing.
They're throwing hard this year and they're bigger.
Yeah, but some are and some aren't.
I mean,
you can tell, like, there's one big kid that I was watching who could throw it hard. The other team that didn't have anybody who could throw the ball hard. So anyway, it's New Hampshire against Rhode Island for the Northeast Region Championship. And the winner goes to Williamsport, goes to the Little League World Series. So all of a sudden the game stops. It's like in the third inning, maybe the second inning. The game stops. The umpire, timeout, and the umpire walks over to one dugout, and then he kind of walks back, and nobody knows what's going on. The announcers don't even know what's going on. And then there's a little conference, and then the manager for the other team goes out to talk to his player and the pitcher. We don't know what the hell's going on. Here, it turns out that the manager for New Hampshire was noticing that the kid on second base was sending signals to the batter because he was reading the catcher signals. Now, in Little League, it's simple. One for fastball, two for breakable. That's all you got, right? So the kid on second base, they showed the replay. The kid does this. And so he claps twice, and I'm telling the batter it's a curveball.
Right.
So the manager notices it, and he puts a stop to it. So the other coach comes out, and he talks to the runner and the whole bit. So after the game, Rhode Island wins the game, 2-1.
The team that was stealing the signs?
Yeah, the team that was stealing the signs won.
Okay.
2-1. So I didn't know if it continued to go on after the umpire, because I flipped it off. But now it's a story, because the guy is sounding off to the newspaper in New Hampshire, and he's ripping Rhode Island. And he's saying, you can do that in big league ball, but in little league, it's unsportsmanlike, it's dishonorable, and it's disgusting. They did it the whole tournament and got away with it, and now that's what's representing New England in the Little League World Series. It's just a bad look.
Well,
now
New England is notorious for stealing.
Yes, Belichick was the manager.
Well, apparently there is a rule in Little League that you're not allowed to do this. So, tournament rule 3. If in the judgment of an umpire, a player, coach, manager is deemed to be stealing and relaying pitch selections or a location, it is considered unsportsmanlike, and said offender is to be ejected from the game.
Okay.
They eject the kid from the game.
Now
this is complete sour grapes to me. Right? Because this happened early in the game, and they lost 2-1. So they didn't hit, and they lost.
Yeah.
I think they should be suspended for a game.
Well, you can't.
Because it's over.
Come on.
Next year.
This coach.
No, the coach can't say that. During the game, you have to try to protect your guys. After the game, you can't say all that stuff. You can't do that after the game with kids. If it was adults, you could say whatever you want. You can't do that with kids. And you also don't want to take away from those other kids who are playing. You cannot like the manager and not say anything negative about those kids. And basically, by speaking out like that, you're talking about a bunch of 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds, and that's not right.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that this, when I played Little League Baseball way back when, this went on in Little League. This went on all the time. So we were coached, and this is how teams avoid this. They're coached to throw the other team off by the catcher will give four signals. And it's agreed upon that you take the first sign I give you is the sign, or it's the third one. So you go 1-2-2-1, and the kid just picks up the third sign, and they can't get away with it.
Right.
That's the way to deal with it.
Yeah, that, as a matter of fact, when my brother was playing, because I pouted and stopped playing because I couldn't play center field, my brother kept on playing.
That's why you love Adam Haseley.
No, I had a hazy complaint set of field.
He's a center field.
Because I wouldn't. I second base? Nah, I'll finish the season. I'm not coming back. But I wouldn't play because of that. They used to do that in little. That's not that clever either. Like, they should have been able to address that.
Yeah. See, it was more civil back then. Now, you got coaches. I don't want to denigrate coaches because a lot of people volunteer their time. But a lot of coaches in youth leagues are like megalomaniacs living vicariously through their kids. You know?
Yeah, I've had coaches.
Right. And so they get overly competitive.
Yeah, I've had coaches challenge me to fight.
Yeah, and so there's no question that this Rhode Island guy taught his guys to do that.
Right. And
because he knows they're doing it.
And that's the thing, though. You probably have to eject that kid on second base to send a message, not to the kid, because he's just doing, to that manager. Like, if you're going to keep doing this, we're going to see you.
Well, I don't think the umpire noticed it. See, the umpire had to be alerted to it. For the manager. So the umpire couldn't throw him out on hearsay.
Right, he just goes and gives the warning.
He has to give the warnings. Don't do it.
So the grown man, the coach, was condoning this.
He taught. It was encouraged.
That's terrible.
Listen, even if kids got together and had their own little powwow because they've seen it done somewhere, the coach knows they're doing it. The coach looks at it, this player, he's on second base, and he's going like that.
That's not normal.
I mean, I feel like it's one thing to, you know, kind of fudge things when you're playing in games and stuff, but to blatantly teach children to cheat, I just don't think that's right.
That's what I'm saying. It's not a civil environment anymore.
No.
It's win-win-win. And the stakes here, you go to the Little League World Series.
And Little League is supposed to be fun, right?
What, but who's responsible for making it big? ESPN.
But you want to put it on TV?
What you put it on TV? These kids are letting it to TV. They're getting interviewed. What's your favorite food? I like spaghetti.
Yeah, what's your nickname? Right. I'm Big G.
Yeah.
I do this.
Right. We made these kids larger than life. Of course, they want to get to the Little League World Series.
And they show Todd Frazier nonstop. He played in this, and now he's in the major leagues playing for the Mets.
Exactly.
You can be him.
Nick and Ben Salem. You're on 97.5 Fanatic. Nick.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Nick?
Not much. I was thinking to go back and bring back Pete McKinnon, the man, the Phillies again.
Yeah, why would you want that?
Well, you want to stick with Gabe?
Well, maybe not, but why would I go to Pete McKinnon? Come on, Nick.
Because he got...
Come on, Nick. What did he do as a manager?
Well, Gabe's not exactly lighting it up.
That doesn't make Pete McKinnon a good manager because Gabe's not lighting it up. Come on, Nicky, you're killing me.
Mike, I'm just waiting. Just like you told me to trust the process on these FanFest tickets, I haven't gotten them in the mail yet.
Oh, you haven't gotten them in the mail?
No.
Well, I don't know. I can't speak to that. I'm not involved in the mailing of them. They're supposed to be emailed to you.
I know. I have to set up an email account.
You haven't set up one yet?
No.
All right. Well, then they should mail it to you. So
I told them to mail it to me.
Yeah, it's probably coming, Nick.
It's been about a month, and I answered a trivia question for a man I did not like. I remember
apparently you gotta have email. We're not sending them out by mail. So
so I gotta call up and give my email.
Yeah.
I believe I have a Gmail account. Same difference, correct?
Yes. Yeah, you have a Gmail account, you're good.
All right,
G.
All right, late.
All right, man. Bring back Pete McKinnon. He was in the booth the other day. You see Pete come up to the booth?
Yeah. I want Gabe to finish this season. I expect Gabe to embrace Charlie.
He's talking about next year.
No, I
don't want Pete. All due respect, Pete McCann's like 70 years old now.
And I actually would prefer if Gabe was to keep his job. Like, I'm not pro-firing a guy. I would prefer if he showed something or the team showed something and he came back. I think stability would be good right now. I just need this guy to just figure something out from the old sage. Like, finish strong so you can keep your job. I don't want to keep churning out managers every 2 years.
All right. Michael in Bethlehem, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Michael.
Hi.
What's up,
Bob? Well, I don't know. Don't you think that with bringing back Charlie that they're going to get a crack right down the middle of the Phillies? Because Charlie is the best manager ever for the Phillies, and Kapler has these boys.
You're saying Kapler's going to feel insecure?
I would think so.
I absolutely agree with you.
I mean, but
the owner didn't care about that part of it. The owner said they own hit. It is time to do something.
Yeah.
He wasn't worried about Gabe Kapler's feelings at this point.
If you
owned a team and you got a disinterest in your team and you're among the last in the league and you're with the bad, your offense is with the bad teams in the league, you blow a gasket. Right?
Yeah.
So you're not worried about whether Gabe's going to look over his shoulder.
Gabe, I think this is going to kill Gabe. Gabe's gone next year. I don't think he comes back. I don't even think he makes the end of the season.
Yeah,
I think Charlie is the man.
He'll make the end of the season.
There's
43 games left. You wouldn't fire a guy with like 20 games left. They're gonna look at the next 23 games at least to see how what Charlie's gonna do for him.
But Charlie is the savior, I think. I think now they're looking to Charlie for answers. That's why they brought him in.
Yes, they're looking to Charlie though to change the dynamics of the way they hit, the way they think about hitting.
I agree with that.
Hoping they're gonna salvage the year that way. I personally think it's too late.
Nah, it probably is. If they get the wild card, it's going to be a lucky thing. They're not going to win the division.
No, I agree with you. When you send the Jason Vargas and Drew Smiley and a half an arm Arrieta out there, and come on.
True. I have the tickets for the games with Atlanta, and I'm not excited about it. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Well, Atlanta, it might be a good series. They might not be out of it by then.
I know. I mean, I sat there last night in the rain. I'll go.
Did you really?
Game.
Oh, you went to the game last night?
Yes, I did.
All right. You want a general knowledge question? See if you can get the fan fest.
I've got cancer, and my memory's not great, but I'll try anyway.
All right. Famous movie scenes. I'm going to give you the scene, and you tell me the movie.
Okay.
Armored knights are slaughtered by a small white rabbit.
Alice in Wonderland?
No, incorrect, but not a bad guess. Yeah, some people really like this movie, and some people are like me. And I don't think Monty Python is funny at all.
Oh.
It's Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yes.
A lot of people swear that this is the funniest movie they've ever seen.
I think it's funny, but it's not the funniest movie I've ever seen.
The
Monty Python thing doesn't do anything for me.
Not when they're pretending to be on horses with coconuts.
No. I'm going to do a Steve Fredericks. Like it, don't love it.
Yeah, I like it. I don't love it.
Monty Python, like it, don't love it.
Like that's where I'm at. I don't think it's unfunny, but I do think it's the people who like it way overrated. Like don't watch it for the first time after you talk to a fan, because they're going to build it up and you're going to watch it and go, this is the greatest thing ever, and you're not going to like it.
I don't understand the Brits' humor.
It's interesting.
The original Office was funny to me.
Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, I think he's funny. Yes, I do.
I didn't have cable growing up, so on Channel 57, UPN, there was a lot of British TV at night.
Benny Hill.
I watched Benny Hill, I watched Mr. Bean.
I didn't get it.
And The Vicar of Dibley.
I got Mr.
Bean, I didn't get Benny Hill, I didn't get anything.
None of that?
No. Not my bag.
No. Chasing the girl around a tree?
I got it the first time he did it. Yeah, okay, he chases girls around trees. What else you got? Every episode, he's chasing a girl around a tree.
Around a tree, around a bar, around a parking lot.
Yeah, let's go. Michael in Wallingford, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Michael.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
What's going on, Mike?
I want to talk a little birds to you.
Go ahead.
You know, I'm old school. When do we accept that these guys don't have to play in preseason games? You just said about Sidney Jones that everybody's excited about his you know, playing now, but we got to see what he does in the game.
Right.
Well, why don't we feel the same about Carson Wentz? We're going to put a bubble around him the first
Carson game. Wentz is a more important position. In fact, he is the position.
I get that, but we all know that the game speed changes the minute you play against an opponent.
Yeah, but he knows what the game speed is. Not like this is his first game.
I know that, but I think last year they just started not playing these guys. I mean, I remember that all these years that, you know, the third preseason game, these guys played half a game.
They're in a precarious situation right now because the backup situation is tenuous, right? They can't afford to have the starter get hurt. Now, the most important position in sports, you will agree, is quarterback, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so if Carson Wentz doesn't have a good year, the Eagles don't win the Super Bowl.
Without a doubt.
All right, so then why risk playing him in preseason? What are you going to gain that much that you have to see him in preseason?
But I hear about all these other players ain't playing. You know, they just...
Forget about the other players. The other players are like older offensive linemen. One's hurt and the other gets hurt every other game. So they obviously want to preserve them. But Carson Wentz is the guy you have to protect. See, you can replace the Sidney Jones. You can't replace the Carson Wentz.
I agree. But if you hear he's having, you know, off days, he's not playing well, mm-hmm. I get that we can say our defense knows his plays. But, you know, you get into a game and the other teams are studying what he's done in the past as well. I'd like to see him come out for at least one series just to get him something, to get him feeling.
In that one series, he can get hurt, right?
Yeah, I guess.
All right, so let's play risk-reward. What's the risk? He gets hurt. What's the reward? What's the reward? Yeah, I get it, but all right, there's no reward. So what?
There's no reward if you look at it that way.
Well, that's why I'm looking at it. There's no reward, and the risk outweighs it.
I don't know. I just think that the speed changes just like it does when you get in.
So in three plays, he's going to, like, the speed is going to come back to him? I mean, what's the difference? He's only going to play a series anyway. What's he going to learn in a series?
Well, that's why I'm just so used to these guys playing like next week, you know, when they come.
Yeah, all right. I don't need him to play.
Play a first quarter at least is what I like.
I don't need it.
Well, I guess I'm old school.
You're way old school.
You know, get these guys out there and figure out what it's about.
Yeah, you're way old school. The quarterback is the Fabergé egg. All right? He needs to be encased in glass in a curio.
You're right.
Locked.
Look what Jacksonville's doing. Because Foles has never played 16 games. He's not playing tomorrow. He didn't play. Why? Yeah. Why take the risk? He's their franchise guy now. You can't take the chance.
There's absolutely no reason to take a risk. And especially now that your backup guy is Cody Kessler. That influences it slightly. But I still wouldn't play him anyway, even if Sudfeld was here. Let's go car wash in Germantown. What's up, Car Wash?
What's going on, Mike?
How are you doing, buddy? Good.
I'm good. Listen, I actually think this was a great move, not because of Charlie, but because this really gets, like, when Charlie comes in, you know, we as fans start thinking, oh, man, he won a World Series in 08. This gives us a glimmer of hope. We bring him back Charlie. He knows what to do. And I believe sometimes you have to make a situation uncomfortable for it to get back where you want it to be. And once you put a little heat up under Gabe's tail a little bit, I think that he'll do a little bit better. I was actually listening to Tyrone's show, and he said something that amazed me. He said last year the Phillies were very good. We were dominant before the All-Star break or whatever. Mm-hmm. We were one of the best teams.
Mm-hmm.
And we went from first to worst and lost more games after the All-Star break, if I'm not mistaken, he's right there, he can tell you, than any other team in baseball. And it's like we headed down that path again, 2 years in a row. Mm-hmm. So by bringing Charlie back, look, people get excited. Just look at all the buzz that's going around.
Yeah.
And you got somebody that's fighting for his job now. You think you want to show him up? He got to be like, look, like I've just been listening to him all day. I have to talk to Charlie about that. Those guys hit, but everything now is about Charlie.
Wait a minute. Car Wash, were you put off a bit by the fact that the manager has not talked to him and doesn't really care to talk to him about the situation?
What makes you think
all of a sudden he's going to bow to Charlie? He's still going to make up the lineup. He's still going to make his substitutions. He's still going to play Sean Rodriguez.
Yeah, listen, he don't have much. He don't have much. Listen, he got a little bit of offense, but as far as the pitching and all that, you know, I was big on Bumgarner, saying we need good pitching. I mean, look, we was hitting in the first half of the season, but we can't win with what we got. But I do think that he'll do better. I do think
he'll do better. I hope you're right. Now, I don't happen to think that he's going to have that much of an impact because it's too late. But we'll see. Now, would you like a general? You want a general?
Yes,
what's that?
Yes, sir. Yeah,
general question.
But I want a general now.
All right, here it is. Baseball team names by clue. The clue is duplicate children.
Duplicate children.
What team am I looking for?
Minnesota Twins.
There you go. Minnesota Twins. Boom. Under the wire for car wash. See, if Charlie Manuel turns one guy around, it's going to be beneficial. The guy he needs to turn around is a guy who is lost in space right now, and that's Rhys Hoskins. It's almost impossible to strike out four times in a game. He's getting bad swings. He's not recognizing pitches. He's taking pitches that he should be expecting. He's dipping his right leg down. He is all messed up. So if Charlie can straighten him out and get him back to hitting some bombs, then it would be worth it.
I was reading that when him and Bryce were both talking yesterday, Bryce said he's the type of guy who doesn't need all the information before he gets up to the plate. Mm-hmm. And Rhys is that guy who needs all the information before he goes up to the plate. So I'm wondering if Charlie can get him to stop overthinking it.
I hope, because he's out of whack now. Really,
his
timing is way off. And in August, that usually, you know, your timing doesn't usually go in August. But he's clueless up there right now. I feel sorry for him.
Any chance he's hurt and just not talking about it?
I don't know. He looks just like he's confused to me.
You're probably right.
610-632-0975. Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly. We're back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show. The Fanatic.
3:30, time for a Twitter poll update, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Miss Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. We have over 1,600 votes on this one so far. Are you concerned about Carson struggling in camp? 20% say yes, 80% say no. So still people largely unbothered.
Thank you very much. Your knowledge prize today, of course, is a pair of FanFest tickets, but also you will qualify. Each hour we're giving away a pair of tickets to Burger Brawl. And all I have to know about Burger Brawl is if you go to our website, is the ad still up there with Natalie eating a burger?
I put it on my Twitter.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Sent it out on Twitter?
It's on, yeah.
Okay. It's world famous now. It's area wide.
I thought it was just funny. No, it was just funny.
There's a buzz created when you're eating a burger. Also, if you love the game of basketball, listen up. It is time to live it. You could take your shot at the all new NBA experience at Walt Disney World Resort with a special Fanatic giveaway. Of course, the boys were down there recently. Friday? Monday they were there. That's right, Monday. Oh, they left Friday, didn't they?
Yeah, they did the show from the experience
on Monday, but they left Friday so they could take advantage of some special Disney promotions. Because it's still down there.
Still down there. 99 degrees in jeans.
With the fam. He's wearing jeans in 99 degrees.
What?
Yes.
99
because
degrees.
He's not a shorts man.
What do you mean he's wearing jeans?
I've never seen him in shorts.
One time.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was at a fan
because
fest.
Is a long pants sweatsuit man.
He needs some linen pants.
Linen keeps coming up on this show. We need a linen distributor.
You got to wear shorts in Florida. I mean, come on, man.
It's 99 and humid.
You worry about the leg hair. Do a little shearing before you go down. A little trimmage.
Jeez.
Anyway, there are two ways to enter for the all-new NBA experience. Just go to our website, 975thefanatic.com, or go to the contest page and enter the win, or go to FanFest 2019 on site. There will be a register to win area. There you go. All right. Let's go back to the phones. Ryan in Lansdale, you're on 975 The Fanatic. Ryan?
Hey, gang. How you guys doing?
What's up, Bri?
You beat me to it with Reed Hoskins. I was gonna say, he just looks... You know, I see him for the last 2 months. He'll check swing at the strikes, and he just looked all...
Yeah, he's confused.
He's not recognizing pitches.
He's not recognizing pitches, and he's guessing.
It's not, yeah. And I remember guessing. Him back in April. You know, back in April, these guys were... You know, hitting the crap out of the ball and high fiving and going crazy. Then all of a sudden, it just disappeared.
Yeah, you can tell. You can almost see his brain pulsating when he's up there.
Overthinking, yep. Way overthinking. I'm going to talk about Kingery real quick before I get. I was at the gym listening to you guys when I first started the show.
Uh-huh.
How can anybody bench him for what happened yesterday? Anybody who played baseball knows. He didn't. It wasn't a lack of effort. It wasn't. It was. He slightly had a mental mistake and got caught off the base. It happened to everybody. I mean, if you look at anybody, Real Muto hit that pop up yesterday that the segmentation dropped. He could have been on second.
Exactly. He did not hustle.
Nothing.
You're right about that, Tyrone. Mr. Three Hit didn't hustle on one play.
He won the game.
That's after the fact. But he didn't hustle. Is that a benchable offense?
Definitely.
Nappy back in.
Let me just give you a quick anecdote from, you're talking about the sign stealing in Little League. My high school baseball coach used to, because a lot of catchers in high school don't give multiple signs, even they just give one sign, fastball, curveball.
Yeah.
The third base coach would yell out your jersey number if it was a curveball. He's like, come on, 12,
uh-huh.
The curveball is coming.
Wow.
And nobody picked that.
That's being ahead of the game. That's why you can stop all that, but listen, you have ultimate control over your own signals. So confuse them, code them. You know?
I'm not gonna say no to some help, but I'm not gonna, you know.
Really? You mean you're gonna go 1, 2, 3 and expect they're not gonna see it?
Yo, curveball.
You see a catcher, how many signs he gives a major league pitcher to avoid that? He's flashing like six, bing, 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 bing.
Or put the glove in front of the sign. You have to teach that, how to shield it.
Exactly. It's part of the game, man. You're trying to gain an edge.
That's what correct.
Now, in Little League, it might be unethical, but there's still, it's in your control. You know, just tell a kid. Now, maybe, was it too complicated for a 12-year-old? No, it's going to be the third sign. I'm going to flash four signs, third sign. Is that too complicated? Let's get a Mark and Bluebell. Mark, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Mark.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, Mark?
What's going on, Mikey?
How you doing?
Not much. Hey, you got a pen and notepad in front of you? I want you to write this down, so it's going to be right.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Eagles are going to go 11-5, and Wentz is going to win the MVP of the season.
At 11-5, he's going to win the MVP?
At 11-5.
That's not MVP worthy.
Yeah, but his numbers are going to be they're going to prove it. I mean, I think there's going to be two losses that come, and it's going to be something like a stupid loss that the defense blows. But I think he's going to get it. I'm so set on him getting it.
Listen, I hope you're right. 11-5 is in iffy territory for an MVP, though. When other teams are probably going to win 12, maybe somebody wins 13. You got to look at those teams.
Yeah, I just think he's going
to
win.
Really, Tyrone? Is 11 wins enough to win an MVP as a quarterback?
It depends if you get a bye. Matt Ryan and them, the year they lost to the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They won 11 and had a bye. So if you have a bye, you can. If they're playing division week, there's no way he wins MVP.
All right. What else you got, bro?
Quick story. So last year, like around this time, I got a general knowledge question right, and then I got cut off. And I ended up getting the tickets emailed to me, but I moved to Virginia to train for my new job. But I'm back, so I'm hoping that these fans.
Let's see what you can do here, because we're in general knowledge. And here is the question: what Italian writer said, "quote It is far safer to be feared than loved"? A quote ripped off by Sonny in The Bronx Tale. Who actually refers to this Italian writer in the movie?
Oh my god, I'm drawing a blank.
Sorry. That's Machiavelli, first name Niccolo.
Popular guy.
He was Sonny's favorite writer. Let's go, Phil. The Phillies lineup is out tonight. Okay,
yeah, he just sent it to you. You want to see it?
Oh, the leadoff hitter tonight. The leadoff hitter is Rhys Hoskins. Well, that's not something I would do, but this is like a middle finger to Charlie Manuel coming into the dugout, right? Because this is the type of lineup that would make Charlie chuck.
Mm-hmm. This was on purpose.
I don't mean Chuck Manuel.
Mm-hmm.
Rhys Hoskins, I'll show you, Charlie. How about this one? Rhys Hoskins leadoff. Now, the theory is he's in a slump. They want to get him more at-bats to get out of the slump. But he might be the slowest leadoff hitter ever. Real Muto hitting .200. Bryce Harper, Segura's back in the cleanup spot. Kingery back in the lineup, Tyrone, after that boneheaded play.
That's a violation.
At least it's not Sean Rodriguez. Your boy moving up in the world. Roman Quinn hitting sixth. Come on, man. Cesar, seventh. Oh, another Tyrone special hit eighth. Hazemat in the lineup.
Against the lefty.
Against Cole hitting eighth. And Aaron Nola is your pitcher. That's a dartboard lineup, as Booney would say.
Yeah.
Come on. Wow, you might as well have fun before Charlie really cements something.
All right, we have a little bit more news.
What's the news?
Per Matt Breen, the Phillies are placing Jake Arrieta on the injured list. Logan Morrison will be available tonight.
So that was the roster move.
So Arrieta is off the roster, and Logan Morrison, another left-handed hitter who can't play the outfield and can only play first base. why didn't you just play him? Oh, no, it's against Cole Hamels.
Yeah, lefty. Yeah. And then Hazley gives you some defense, which, you know,
Rhys might be bench tomorrow. This might be Reese's last chance that Logan Morrison will play tomorrow.
You might need a blow, yeah.
All right. Leadoff hitter, Rhys Hoskins. 610-632-09. This is hysterical. Hey, Charlie, what do you think of this lineup? I'm the manager. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, they have reanointed a current relief pitcher back to the starting rotation. Not a new thing with the Phillies. Zach Eflin comes back in rotation to replace Jake Arrieta. He will pitch Saturday. Tonight's an interesting matchup with Cole and Aaron Nola. I'm sure it's the best lineup for Aaron, but
only went five his last time out. He's got to come out and do a job tonight.
Roman Quinn getting an everyday look all of a sudden.
He has been like red hot, but that's because he was batting so low that there was no way no guy's going to hit 110 forever. So to get to 220, he had to be red hot. So he's been hot lately. You might as well go ahead and let him get to 240 before he levels off.
Is he at 220 now?
I don't know if he's quite that hot, but he's been up. He's been really hot. Like he was batting like 090 not that long ago.
I looked yesterday. He was still at a buck something.
Right, but I'm saying he was literally 090. I think he raised like 100 points to get to wherever he was.
That's your man. You got left center and center field locked down tonight.
Yeah, you don't understand how happy I am.
You're happy, you're not happy that they benched Kingery.
Yeah, but you know what? I feel like he's not doing what I wanted him to do. This lineup isn't I'm going to embrace Charlie. This is an in-your-face Charlie. I don't like that. I want him to embrace the wise sage, and he is not doing that.
This lineup's hysterical.
I know.
Phil and Maple Shade, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Phil.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Phil?
Hey, I saw that little league game, like you saw, where the kid was chastised for flashing the catcher's sign.
You were watching it?
Yeah.
It's amazing that I was watching it at the same time that happened, and now it's a story.
So the funny part is I coached in the 1990s, like literally, and I remember everybody trying to steal signs. I didn't even know there was a rule against it until they mentioned it.
Yeah, Little League, it's unsportsmanlike to do it.
But I tell you, everybody's trying to do it. But I have a couple funny stories, just like that caller that just recently talked about the coach who saved the number. I picked up that the coaches were relaying the signs in, and I figured out the curveball sign, and I would just yell the kid's last name, so they knew the curveball was coming. But
you were a cheater too, man.
Oh yeah,
amazing! All these unethical people out there.
We were out to win, you know.
Uh-huh.
So here's the funny part. Came back to bite me though. So instead of having the catchers flash the signs out, we always had the coaches doing it. And so we would have a couple coaches there, and each one would flash different signs, and that way we would fake out the other team. Well, we were playing this team from South Vineland that was mainly Hispanic. And what they did is they had a guy over by our dugout, and he would hear me saying, okay, you know, curveball, whatever. And they would yell out to the kid on the field in Spanish what was coming.
Ah, well, there you go. That's foolproof. Unless you got a smart kid who knows Espanol.
Yeah, well, we did.
That's pretty clever. All right, man, are you coming to FanFest?
No, I'm not coming. I just saw your show today, and I saw that, and I said, I got to tell him about that.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I was going to give you a question, but we'll save the next question because it's a movie question, and it's a doozy. T-Love in Collingdale. T-Love, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yo, Michael, how are you?
What's up, T?
Hey, let me just say, first of all, Monty Python is the boringest, most unfunny. I tried to
watch it. A lot of people love it. A lot of people love Monty Python.
Yeah, well, you know what? I was more, as far as British television goes, Benny Hill was hilarious.
Yeah, I didn't find Benny Hill funny either.
I actually came in one night and after being a little bit inebriated and was going through the guide, and it said Benny Hinn. And I thought it was Benny Hill. I turned it on, and the guy was laying his hands on people, knocking them out. You ever seen a little Indian guy?
That's Brits.
I actually found that more funny than Benny Hill, you know?
Yeah, I hear you.
Anyway, I don't want to say anything against anybody's religion. I don't get Seinfeld still. You put me down with The Sopranos. I love it. I don't know if
that's a violation.
You don't think Seinfeld's funny?
I've tried to watch it because you say it's funny. I don't think it crosses over to the brothers. I really don't.
Tyrone, what do you think of that? Tyrone loves Seinfeld.
Loves Seinfeld.
Well, he works for you too, you know?
Well, no. He loved it before he worked for me.
Well,
you're not agreeing with me because I like it.
Well, that's cool. I can't.
You won't find 10 people that dislike Seinfeld in America.
Sounds that way. I apologize.
No, that's all right.
But I don't like it. And I want to get to what I was going to talk about.
You got it.
What's this I'm hearing? I read today about Clowney. I mean, can we use this guy as a trader? Can we get him?
No.
We don't want him?
No, he's a high-ticket player, and why would you want Clowney? You got starting defensive ends. Well, where's Clowney fit in at that kind of a price?
Well, I mean,
they got a number one pick that they play at one end, and they got a guy they just gave a contract extension that plays the other end. So where's Clowney fit in at that money?
There's no way to maneuver.
No.
Okay. All right.
No interest.
You say so.
Yeah, there's no interest in him because of the money. All right, you want a general knowledge question, T-Love?
I'll take a general knowledge.
Famous movie scenes. Seven Germanic children sing and dance to say goodnight to house guests.
Sound of Music.
Oh, bam. Bam goes T-Love. Now, for his dislike of Seinfeld, I didn't think he was going to get the Sound Music.
Yeah, you know, for him to be questioning my blackness as he sits at home watching the Sound of Music.
How's the Sound of Music resonate with the brothers?
Uh-huh. You see? He exposed himself a little bit.
Doe a deer.
He loves that song.
Female deer.
He loves sings that full Ray. Volume.
I knew that. That's got to be. Is that in your top three?
No, not at all. No.
It's not?
I really don't care for the like Sound of Music.
Really?
Yeah, I don't.
Oh, my God. I would have guessed that was like right down to Nat Alley.
No, I like Annie.
Well, that's what I thought musicals really would charm you.
I do like musicals. But
you don't like the Sound of Music?
No, I never really vibed with it. I'm more of a Mary Poppins kind of gal.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's a shock. It's an upset.
I surprised you.
Sure.
See?
You're be a sound
you think
of music.
You have me all figured out, Miss Anelli.
I know. I don't get that Sound of Music thing.
Do you like the Sound of Music?
Yeah, I've watched it. I mean, it's not something I would rewatch, but I saw
The Von Trapps.
I saw it, and I thought it was a fine movie. You know?
I don't care. I don't need to, like, watch it often. If it's on, I'll keep it on.
Yeah, I would never watch it again.
Right.
Like, it's not like, oh, Sound of Music, boom. No, I'd bypass it.
Yeah, if I'm going Julie Andrews, I'm going Mary Poppins.
All right, I got you. 610-632-0975. Roman Quinn's hitting a buck 92, Tyra.
Yeah, what's he hitting in August?
Buck 92 is Buck 92.
He's raised his average 100 points. Like I said, literally 100 points. He was batting. Oh, he was literally batting 090.
Yeah, I can't get with it. 4 o'clock hours coming our way. Tim McManus will join us at 4:10, and we're back after this.